Luke chapter number 24 is the opening chapter of Luke's gospel. I know that most of you know that already by now. And you also know that the reason why that the last chapter is the opening chapter is not because of its location, but because of its information. And that is that it's in this last chapter of Luke's gospel that things really are beginning to open up. And you and I have discovered in this series of messages, first of all, that there was the opening of the tomb. When the women came to the tomb in the first few verses of this chapter, where Jesus had been buried with the stone, had been rolled over the opening of that tomb and sealed and guarded, that when they got there, the stone was rolled away and the tomb was open. It was open, we discovered, not for Jesus to get out, but for the women to see in, and Peter and John as well, so that they could see inside of that tomb the evidence for the resurrection. That is, that his body was gone, and yet the linen cloth still lying there provided physical, visible evidence for the bodily resurrection of Christ, which is the foundation of everything the New Testament church was teaching and everything that they were doing. So there was the opening of the tomb. We also discovered in this chapter the opening of the scriptures. We discovered two disciples traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And as they were making that 7-mile journey, the Lord showed up and began to walk with them. They were walking and they were talking. The Lord asked them why they were so sad. They explained what had happened to their Messiah, their Christ in Jerusalem, not knowing that it was him. And disappointed in all the events that have taken place, saddened by those events. And so the Lord took the scriptures and opened them up. And he began to teach them out of the Old Testament how that what happened to the Savior in Jerusalem was predicted, prophesied, necessary, essential. And it wasn't bad news, but that it was indeed good news. So he opened up the scriptures, and as he did, their hearts burned on the inside of them. We discovered not only the opening of the tomb and the opening of the scriptures, but also in this chapter, the Bible tells us in verse 31 about the opening of the eyes. And that is that as these two disciples sat and were eating with our Savior, who was staying with them in the home where they were at in Emmaus, as they sat there, he began to break the bread and began to bless it. And as he did, the Bible says that their eyes were opened. And even though they didn't know who he was before, they know who he is now. It's like God removed the blinders off of their eyes, and they realized that the one who had been walking with them and talking with them, the one who had stayed with them, the one who had had supper with them, that he indeed was the Christ risen from the dead, and they realized who he was. Their eyes were opened. We also discovered the opening of the understanding. That is, that you and I discovered that these two disciples went back to Jerusalem as fast as they could get there, and they found the other disciples, the apostles, gathered together. And the reason why is because Jesus had appeared to Peter as well. And Peter's telling the story about the appearance of Christ. We know that he appeared to Mary Magdalene. We know he appeared to the other women, but now he had appeared to Peter, verifying that Christ is risen from the dead. And these two disciples from Emmaus begin to tell their story. And as they're telling their story, Jesus appears in the room. We discovered that the reason why he appeared to them in his resurrected body in verse number 45 was to open up their understanding. There are some things that they did not understand that they needed to understand. And our Lord moved in such a way, spoke in such a way, ate in such a way, ladies and gentlemen, that he revealed to them what it was that they needed to understand about peace, and what he needed to understand about who he is, that is his presence, that he's there in bodily form, about his purpose. That is, that he came to fulfill everything that was written about him in Scripture, that his death on the cross was his purpose for coming, and about his plan for them now after the resurrection is to go and preach, that is, to preach repentance and remission of sins among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You and I spent some time looking at those verses where Jesus opened up their understanding. So I want you to notice with me now, we began this Wednesday night, that Jesus not only, that is in this passage, we not only see the opening of the tomb and the opening of the scriptures and the opening of the eyes and the opening of the understanding, but also the opening of the heavens. Verse 50 says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. The Bible indicates to us here that the heavens opened up to the victorious Savior as he ascended out of the sight of his disciples. Luke tells us about the opening of the heavens on other occasions. I spent some time Wednesday night dealing with the fact that the heavens opened up at the baptism of Jesus. The heavens opened and the Spirit of God flew down like a dove, the Bible says, and lighted upon him. We discovered that the heavens opened up at the stoning of Stephen. That is, as Stephen is being stoned, the heavens open and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God in Acts 7. We find that Peter tells us about the vision of Peter in Acts chapter number 10. Luke tells us about the vision of Peter in Acts 10, where the Bible says the heavens opened up and down comes this sheet-like object with all kinds of animals in it. And Peter says that he's to rise up, kill, and he is to eat. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason why the Peter protested is because there were unclean animals inside of all of that. And God said, don't you call what I have cleansed common or unclean. And there was a lesson there for Peter about the fact that God was going to save not only Jews who were considered to be clean, but Gentiles who were considered to be unclean. God was preparing him to take the message of salvation to the Gentiles. When you look at when the heavens were opened, you'll find at the baptism of Jesus, the heavens were opened, ladies and gentlemen, as a revelation of the Spirit who came upon Christ. You'll find that at the stoning of Stephen, there is a revelation of the Son standing at the right hand of God. You'll find that at the vision of Peter, there's a revelation about salvation. The salvation is not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles as well. And now we see here at the end of Luke's gospel, again, the heavens are open. And we find that the heavens open to receive the victorious conqueror, our Lord Jesus, as he ascended up out of the sight of his followers. Those of you that were here Wednesday night, and I wish all of you could have been, we did a little review of the ascension of Christ. And we looked, first of all, at the setting for the ascension as revealed to us here in verse number 50. I send to you in the service Wednesday night to remind you that it is only Luke who tells us about the actual occurrence of the ascension of Christ into heaven. That is, Mark makes a reference to it at the end of his gospel. We know that also John anticipated it in his gospel account. There's hints at it. We know that Paul wrote about it in his letters. We know that Peter commented on it in his first letter at the end of chapter number 3. The author of Hebrews spends a lot of time focusing on the ascension of Christ in the book of Hebrews that we'll look at in a later message. But it's only Luke that tells us the actual account. And he gives us the setting for the ascension in verse number 50. And we find that the setting for the ascension, that is of Christ, includes the town of Bethany. That's where he took his disciples. He took them to the town of Bethany. Now right there at Bethany, ladies and gentlemen, is the Mount of Olives. And Luke tells us in the book of Acts chapter number 1 that it was in Bethany at the Mount of Olives where our Lord ascended. He took them to the town of Bethany, and I spent some time Wednesday night talking about the significance of the town of Bethany. We also discovered there not only the town of Bethany, but also the hands of blessing. The Bible tells us that when he got to Bethany with his disciples, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. I said to you that Luke's gospel began with a blessing in Luke 1, with a woman blessed above all other women. But now it's ending with a blessing, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why is because of the fact that there's not only a woman who's blessed, but there are people now who are blessed. And the reason why they're blessed is because of their connection to Christ. I talked about the blessing of God's people this past Wednesday night. When you look at the setting for the ascension, you'll see the town of Bethany and you'll see the hands of blessing. So I want you to notice with me this morning for a few moments, not only the scene for the ascension, but I want you to notice with me, the setting for the ascension, but I want you to notice with me the scene at the ascension. I want us to actually take a look at the scene itself as Luke reveals it to us in these verses. Look at verse 51. The Bible says there, and it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. In verse 50, we see the setting. In verse number 51, we notice the scene for at the ascension. When you look at what happened, the actual scene when Jesus ascended up out of the sight of his disciples, there are several things that stand out to us here in Acts chapter number 24 and also, in Luke 24 and also in Acts chapter number 1. I want you to notice with me as you look at the scene of the ascension, the departure from the disciples. Did you notice in verse 51 that the Bible says that while he was blessing them, that is, he has his hands extended, and as he's blessing them, the Bible says that he was parted from them. Parted from, there's a departure from the disciples. Now, all of us know a little bit about this kind of departure, don't we? Or at least we know a little bit about departure. Paul, when he was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, his last chapter, his last words, he talked about the time of his departure. And he said the time of his departure was at hand. It was near. He's talking about his death. And that is, he's going to die. And when he dies, he's going to be departing. And you and I know something about that. And the reason why is because we also have stood by the graveside of a loved one who has departed. That is, they have left this life. When we're talking about departure, though, what you and I are talking about, we're talking about the departure of a soul, aren't we? That is, a person dies, and all of a sudden, when the moment that they die, their body lies there lifeless, and we're standing there looking at their lifeless body. And the reason why their body lies there lifeless is because their soul or their life has departed. Their body is still laying right there where it was laying. But it's their life or their soul that has departed and now is in the presence of God at their side. That's the kind of departure that you and I are accustomed to, but this departure, ladies and gentlemen, is unlike any other. And the reason why is because not just the departure of a soul, leaving the body lying there. Oh no, it's the departure of the soul and the body. That is, that Jesus, bodily raised from the dead, when he departed that day from his disciples, ascended into heaven, he ascended bodily into heaven. Now, it's important for the New Testament believers to know that, and as well as us today. And that is that Jesus is not just a soul that has departed this life like we would think of as those our loved ones who've died. But he, ladies and gentlemen, has been raised from the dead, bodily raised from the dead, and ascended bodily into the place of heaven. And there he is. He departed from the disciples. They didn't have a body to bury. Listen, they couldn't gather together and have a funeral service and bury his body into the tomb or in the ground. Oh no, his buried body, ladies and gentlemen, has risen from the dead, and it is no more departed out of their sight. The departure from the disciples. Now, Jesus told the disciples that this day was coming. That is, this day when he would depart from them. As a matter of fact, when he was in the upper room with them, only hours before his arrest, he told them about this time that would soon come, the time of his departure. Listen to what he wrote, listen to what he said in John 13, beginning at verse number 31. In John 13, verse 31, in the upper room with the disciples, the night that he was arrested, therefore, when he was gone out. Now, when the Bible's talking about when he was gone out, it's talking about Judas Iscariot. That is the one who betrayed him, who dipped with Jesus in the sop. And Jesus said, whatever you're going to do, do quickly. And the Bible says he left. Judas went out and he finished betraying our Lord. And the Bible says when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. And God is glorified in him. That is, the glory of the Son is about to take place. You say, Pastor, what is it? The betrayal and the arrest and the crucifixion followed by the resurrection. The Bible says here, if God be glorified in him, verse 32, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway or immediately glorify him. A lot of glorying getting ready to take place according to the words of our Lord. Now listen to verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. I'm only going to be with you just a little while longer. And then you will seek me, as I said unto the Jews, whither I go you cannot come. So now I say to you, he said, just like I told the Jews, I'm saying to you, I'm getting ready to go, and where I'm going, you can't come right now. Now, when Jesus said that this is something that he said to the Jews, it refers back to John chapter number 7. Back in John chapter number 7, notice what the Bible says, the occurrence there with the Jewish people, with the Jewish leaders. In John chapter number 7, and verse number 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured. They murmured such things concerning him. That is, they're beginning to think that maybe he's the Christ. And the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, have been hearing that the Jewish people might think that Jesus is the Christ. So the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Jesus or to arrest him. Then said Jesus unto them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither you cannot come. Listen to me now. That's what he said to them. That is the Jews. He said, listen, one of these days I'm going to be gone. Not going to be very much longer. I'm going to be gone from here, and you're going to look for me and can't find me. And by the way, I'm headed back to him that sent me. I'm returning to the Father that sent me. He not only said that in John chapter number 7, but he also said it in John chapter number 8 and verse number 21. In John 8, 21, then said Jesus again to them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins, and whither I go, you cannot come. There's the same thing. I'm getting ready to leave, and he said, where I'm going, you cannot come. Jesus is identifying to the Jewish leaders the fact that he's getting ready to leave this place, ladies and gentlemen. He is getting ready to depart. And now here he is in the upper room with the disciples in John 13. And in John 13, he said, remember what I said to the Jewish leaders back in John 7 and John 8? Remember what I told them? I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to be going back to him that sent me, and you're not going to be able to come. Well, he said, I'm saying the same thing to you, to the disciples, the apostles, the 11 with Judas gone. He said, I'm getting ready to leave, and I'm going to return to the Father who has sent me. And he says, right now, he says, whither I'm going, you cannot come. In John 13, in verse number 36, we find that our Lord again emphasized the fact that he was leaving. The Bible says that Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? If you're getting ready to go somewhere that we can't come, then where in the world are you going? You see, they didn't understand, did they? They didn't get it. Where are you going? Maybe they thought he was running to Walmart to get something. Maybe they thought he was going out to Cracker Barrel to get him some lunch. Where are you going? And the Bible says that Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter right now said, you're not going to be able to go where I'm going right now. There'll come a time when you will, but not right now. He's talking about his ascension, isn't he? His ascension back to the Father. That is, he's going to be departing from them. Remember John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to go to prepare a place for you. Go where? To back to the Father's house, the Bible says. Headed back to the Father's house. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He's answering Peter's question, where are you going? He's saying, I'm going to the Father's house. Peter, you can't come now, but one of these days you'll be able to. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, Peter, and I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you will be also. And by the way, where I go, you know, and the way you know. You know where I'm going, and you know the route, the road that'll get you there. And of course, Thomas spoke up and said, Lord, how can we know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And that's when Jesus spoke those words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, to the Father's house, but by me. You see what our Lord is doing? He's foretelling, isn't he? He's warning his disciples that that day is coming when I'm going to be leaving. You won't be able to go with me, but one day you'll be with me where I am. I'm the road there. I'm the way there. I'm the truth and the life. I'm the way to the Father's house. If you know me, then one of these days you're going to be there. He's telling them about their departure. In John chapter number 14, our Lord emphasizes it again in verse number 28. John 14, 28, you've heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. That's what he just got done saying in the first part of those verses that I just read. I'm going to go away to the Father's house and I'll return, remember, and you'll be there where I am. But he said, you've heard it said how that I said I'll go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you'll rejoice. Because I said, I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it came to pass, you might believe. Here's what the Lord is saying. I'm getting ready to go, and you all are sad. If you really understood what was going on, then you would be glad. If you really loved the Father, if you really loved me, if you really knew what was going on, you would be glad. You'd be glad. Now, listen, some of us are kind of like that, aren't we? We have a mixture of sadness and gladness when somebody departs from us, don't we? And that is, when somebody leaves us in this life, we're sad. And the reason why we're sad is because they're not here anymore. But on the other hand, we're glad, and we're glad the reason why is if they're saved, we know they're in heaven with the Lord. And so we have this big mixture of sadness and gladness on the inside of us. And these disciples right now, they are primarily just consumed with sadness. Jesus is getting ready to go, and he's getting ready to leave them, he said, and they're sad. But Jesus said, if you understood where I'm going and why I'm going, you would be glad. And I'm telling you beforehand so that when it comes to pass that you'll know that everything's right on schedule according to the divine plan. He's getting ready to depart. That's not all. Listen, he keeps going over this with the disciples. The reason why he keeps going over it is because they're not quite getting it. In chapter number 16 in the upper room, again, as a little bit later in the evening, in chapter 16 and verse number 5, it says, but now I go my way to him that sent me. I'm getting ready to go back to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, even though you're full of sorrow, he said, it's expedient. I tell you the truth, it's expedient or right or good for you that I go away. I know you're sad, but really you ought to be glad. This is not bad, so you ought to be sad. It's good, so you ought to be glad. Amen. This is a good thing, he said, for you. And the reason why is because if I go another way, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Don't you like that? What? Listen, in other words, it's a good thing. You ought to be glad. It's not a bad thing. Don't be sad. And the reason why I'm getting ready to go, and the Spirit of God is going to come, and you're going to be engaged in this brand new ministry, the Spirit-filled ministry read about in the book of Acts. I'm getting ready to leave. Do you see it there? In John 16, verse number 16, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again a little while, and you shall see me. Because I go to the Father. He says, I'm getting ready to leave, you're not going to see me, and then after a little while longer, you will see me. Hey, I'm getting ready to go back to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you shall see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. And because I go to the Father, I said, well, we have no idea what the Lord is talking about. I don't get it. What does he mean by all of that? They said, therefore, what is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he said. We don't understand what it is that he means. Now, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him. They knew. He knew what they were thinking. And he said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while you shall see me? He said, are you wondering what I mean by that? Well, he knew that they were wondering that. He knew their thoughts. So he explains, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament. Yeah. He's going to be crucified and buried in a tomb. And you're going to be weeping and you're going to be lamenting. But the world's going to rejoice. That is, the Jewish leaders are going to be rejoicing. And that is that this one called Jesus, this one who's going around saying is the Son of God, this blasphemer is dead. The world's going to rejoice and you'll be sorrowful. But listen to me now, your sorrow is going to be turned into joy. One of these days, he said, it's kind of like a woman in verse 21. It's like a woman that has a baby. That is, when the hour has come, and she's full of travail and she's in sorrow, but as soon as she's delivered of the child, she doesn't remember the sorrow or anguish anymore for joy that a man is born into the world. It's kind of like a woman having the baby, and that is, she's in as much discomfort as she probably may ever be, some women in their life, and much discomfort as they can be as that baby is being born. And the moment that baby is born, all of a sudden, all of her sorrow is turned into joy. You ladies know what I'm talking about. Amen. He said, that's where it's going to be for you. Verse 22 says, and you now therefore have sorrow. But I'll see you again. You're going to be sorrowful because I'm going to leave. But I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And listen, your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. He said, in that day, when I've gone away and come back, he said, listen, in that day, you won't have to ask me for anything. You can pray directly to the Father. And he'll give you what you ask for if you'll ask it in my name. He said, hitherto in verse 24, if you ask nothing in my name, ask, and you'll receive, your joy will be full, and these things have I spoken unto you. In Proverbs, that is, in stories and illustrations. But the time cometh when I will speak no more unto you in Proverbs, but I'm going to show you plainly of the Father. And that day you shall ask in my name, and I'll say unto you, and I'll pray to the Father for you. In other words, Jesus saying, in that day you'll pray directly to the Father, and I'll be interceding for you. He's talking about his ascension at the right hand. And as our intercessor, the ministry of intercession at the right hand, for the Father himself loveth you because you've loved me and believe that I came from God. Listen to this, verse 28. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. You know what he's telling them? He's predicting his ascension, isn't he? That he's going to die on the cross, be buried in a tomb, and after that burial, raised from the dead and ascend back to the Father as our great high priest interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. He's telling them that he's getting ready to depart. And now we find at the end of Luke's gospel in chapter number 24 that just like he said, ladies and gentlemen, he departed out of their sight and he's gone. I'm trying to give you the scene for the ascension. And you'll see there the departure from the disciples. At the scene of the ascension, you'll also notice the heaven above the disciples. The Bible tells us in verse number 51 that you and I are looking at there in Luke chapter number 24. The Bible says there it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them. He departed from them just like he said and carried up into heaven. That is, as he departed from the disciples, he didn't walk away. But he ascended up. That is, ladies and gentlemen, he ascended up into the heavens until he was out of their sight, headed back to the Father's house, headed back to heaven. We discovered that Luke gives us more information about this in Acts chapter number 1. Flip over there if you would. The scene at the ascension is described not only by Luke at the end of Luke's gospel here in Luke 24, but also it's also described by him in even more detail at the beginning of the book of Acts. The end of the gospel of Luke and the beginning of the book of Acts has an overlap. Both of them written by Luke as sequels. And in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, and when he had spoken these things, that is the things that Luke reveals to us there in Acts chapter number 1, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Now see, you and I know a little bit about what he was saying when he had his hands stretched out and he was blessing them. Because Luke gives us some information right here in this passage, doesn't he? That is, one of the things that he told them, that it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put in his own power, but you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the most parts of the world. That's part of what he said when he was blessing them. And then the Bible says that while he was saying these things, among other things, no doubt, while they beheld or watched, he was taken up. Have you ever seen something you just couldn't take your eyes off of? That's sort of the way it was that day. It might have been something you were watching as you were driving down the road, and you should have been watching the road, and you saw it and you just looked at it, and my wife says, you need to watch the road. There's something you saw that just caught your eye and you couldn't take your eye off of it. Well, the Bible says that they just watched. The reason why is because, ladies and gentlemen, they weren't lowering him down like you and I would do after somebody departs. That is, their body being lowered down. He wasn't being put away like you would do if you were putting him in a tomb like he was by Joseph after his crucifixion. Oh no, he was taken up, the Bible tells us here. And they were just watching him as he was taken up, as he ascended up into heaven. Absolutely. The Bible says in verse number 10 of Acts 1, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. They were watching up into the heavens as Jesus ascended until finally he was just a little speck in the sky. And then they could see him no more. And the heavens engulfed and welcomed home our Lord. We're looking at the scene at the ascension. And we've discovered there the departure from the disciples. He left them, like he said. We see here the heaven above the disciples. They're watching, looking up into the heavens as he ascends out of their sight. Notice the cloud over the disciples. In Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 9, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up." And notice, a cloud received him out of their sight. The Bible says he was welcomed by a cloud. It's as though, you know, there's a couple of different scenarios here, and we don't know which to how to really take that. It could be that a cloud kind of swooped down from heaven and just sort of picked him up into the sky. It could be that as he ascended and got higher and higher, that finally he went back behind the clouds and they could see him no more. It may well be, ladies and gentlemen, it could be, it wouldn't surprise me based on what we already know that Luke records for us. It wouldn't surprise me if there wasn't a special cloud that received him up out of their sight. You say, "Pastor, why would you say that?" Because of what we read about here in the Gospel of Luke. And that is that every once in a while, ladies and gentlemen, there's just a cloud that shows up from heaven. We read about this, we read about the presence of a divine cloud, for example, in Luke chapter number 9. Look at what the Bible says here in Luke's Gospel in the 9th chapter. In Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 28, the Bible says, "It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistening." You remember the scene, the Mount of Transfiguration, we call it. And that is it, he, Peter, James, and John on a mountain. All of a sudden, the Lord is transfigured. And listen, he's white. He's shining like white light, glistening like light. "And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." So they show up at the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah, and begin to talk about what's going to happen in Jerusalem, where he's going to be crucified. "But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep." That's just like Peter, isn't he? He's always taking a nap when he ought to be awake listening. The Bible says it is asleep. "And when they were awake," Peter, James, and John, "when they woke up, they saw his glory. And the two men that stood with him," what a sight to wake up to, "and see the Lord transfigured before them. And it came to pass that as they departed from him," that is, as Moses and Elijah departed, "Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias.'" Not knowing what he said, that is, this guy was just had to say something. He's one of these guys that just can't be quiet and let things be silent. If there's a moment of silence, there's some people, if there's a moment of silence, they got to say something, even if it sounds foolish. And that's Peter. He said, "Hey, let's make tabernacles." Maybe it's the Feast of Tabernacles. "Hey, don't let Moses and Elijah depart. Let's keep them here. Let's make some tents for all of us, to stay in, and let's just hang out here for a while." He had no idea what he was saying. And while he thus spoke, that is, while he was still saying this, listen to this, "there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud." This is not a normal cloud. This is a cloud that descended down on that mountain, ladies and gentlemen, upon them. And they're afraid for some reason as that cloud descends upon them. And the Bible says there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Hear him." That is a cloud from heaven. It's a glory cloud. It's not a storm cloud. It's a glory cloud. It's not a dark cloud. It's probably a bright glowing cloud that descended upon them as God showed up and spoke from that cloud. So it wouldn't surprise me. Luke writes about this cloud, these clouds from heaven. By the way, in Luke chapter number 21, we read about about the glory cloud as well. Luke 21 and verse 27. These are the words of our Lord, and Luke records them for us. And that is a one of these days that they're going to see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. In other words, in the Gospel of Luke, we see not only a cloud that came on the Mount of Transfiguration, but we also read about a cloud that Jesus is going to be with, that's going to be with our Lord when he returns the second time, a glory cloud. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see this cloud over the disciples. In Revelation chapter number 1, we read about the cloud. Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every one shall see him, and they which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." When he comes again, he's going to come in a cloud. Folks, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 14, the Bible says in verse number 14, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. And upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle." In other words, here is the Christ, ladies and gentlemen, that's coming to execute the judgment of God in the last days. One of these days is coming, and when he's coming, he's going to come on the clouds. In Matthew 24 and in Matthew, we find that Jesus affirms that when he comes again, he will come on the clouds. Matthew 24, listen to what the Bible says in verse number 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." When Jesus was being tried by the Jewish leaders in Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 62, the Bible says the high priest arose and he said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses witness against thee?" Jesus held his peace. He didn't say anything. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And here's what Jesus said: "Thou hast said. You said it. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." I'm just trying to get you to see that it wouldn't surprise me, just based on what we already know here in Luke's Gospel, in the book of Revelation, and Matthew's Gospel, what we know about the Mount of Transfiguration, what we know about the second coming of Christ. It wouldn't surprise me that when the Bible says he was caught up in, out of their sight in this cloud, that God sent a glory cloud just to usher him out of this life. Trying to get you to see the scene at the ascension. Why, there's the departure from the disciples, and there's the heaven above the disciples, and there's the cloud over the disciples, and then there are the men by the disciples. Look at what the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 1 once again. In Acts 1 verse number 10, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.'" That is, all of a sudden, now right there at the scene of the ascension, there they are, these men by the disciples. I guess nobody really noticed them before, but as they're standing up there gazing into heaven, can't take their eyes off of our Savior as he ascends up into the clouds, ladies and gentlemen, all of a sudden they don't notice, that is, those who are beside them. Until they speak. And there they are, these men beside the apostles. The first thing that you and I notice is their appearance. The Bible says there that these men who are by them are dressed, that they stood by them in white apparel. Now we already have a good idea of who these men might be now. And the reason why is because earlier in Luke chapter number 24, the chapter starts with these same kind of heavenly creatures. You might remember that when we were reading there in Luke chapter number 24, the Bible tells us about the scene when the women showed up at the tomb and the stone was rolled away, and they found it was. They looked into the tomb and they couldn't find his body. And the Bible says in verse number 4 of chapter number 24, "It came to pass as they were much perplexed, confused, upset, thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." Described as shining garments here, described as white garments. I wonder, don't you, if it's not the same two. Oh, it might be. That is, in Luke's Gospel, these two men at the beginning of the chapter and now two men at the end of the chapter, it may well be they're the same ones. Amen. Now, we know who they are, don't we? And that is that these two men standing by there in white apparel, ladies and gentlemen, these aren't two men that have their doctor's coats on. No, no, no. These are two angels from heaven that are aglow with the glory of God. Shining white garments, the Bible tells us about. Absolutely. What I'm trying to get you to see is not only their appearance. That is, these two men that stood by there. But it's not just their appearance, but it's also their announcement. The Bible tells us in verse number 11, they told them, "Why are you just standing here gazing up into heaven?" Listen, they couldn't take their eyes off of him. As Jesus ascended out of their sight and they couldn't see him anymore, they just stood there and looked. Maybe they were watching that glowing cloud in the sky. Maybe they were standing there in shock, unable to take their eyes off of the scene. And these angels are standing there in shining garments. And the Bible says, they said, why are you just standing there gazing up into heaven? Hey, don't you know that this same one, Jesus, is going to come back one of these days in the same manner as he departed from you? That is, just like he departed and ascended out of your sight into the clouds. One of these days, and you and I just looked at some verses, one of these days Jesus is going to come again. He that descended is going to ascended is one of these days going to come back and descend again, and he's going to come on the clouds of heaven one of these days. Oh, absolutely. You see, one of the things that you and I should do is celebrate this event, the ascension of Christ. That is what the Bible reveals to us here, ladies and gentlemen, about the fact that Jesus left this earth. If you and I celebrate his incarnation, the fact that he came to the earth to go and die on the cross, how much more should we celebrate his ascension? That is, he has left this life and has returned back to the Father, that is, returned to the glory that he departed from. Sometimes I wonder about us, don't you? And that is, we celebrate the birth of a baby and we mourn and grieve the death of a loved one. Sometimes I think we get a little bit backwards, and that is, when a child's born into the world, they're going to face a lifetime of struggle and difficulty, and yet when they leave this life, the difficulty's over. Maybe we ought to be celebrating their homegoing if they're saved, rather than their birth. If you and I would celebrate the birth of Christ, and we should, with such extravagance as what we do, how much more should we celebrate Jesus' ascension back to the right hand as a victorious conqueror, ladies and gentlemen, who has come and defeated the enemy and finished his task, the one who has come, ladies and gentlemen, and accomplished our redemption, and he ascended back to the Father. That ought to be means of celebration. It sure should. What I'm trying to get you to see here in Luke chapter number 24. Is our Lord's ascension back to the Father. We've noticed the setting, and now the scene. One of these days, he'll be coming back, just like he left. If his incarnation is true, and it is. If his death, resurrection, and ascension are true, and they are. Then just as true as his second coming, one of these days. Let me ask you the question, and I'm done. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for Jesus to come again? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth that you've revealed to us. The moments we've had together to consider the victorious ascension of our Lord. Father, I pray that you'll bless these moments that we have. I pray, Father, for those that are lost, that have never come to Christ, that you would do a work in those hearts, draw those persons to yourself, save them by your grace. God, would you? For your people, Father, have been walking with you, witnessing, sharing, that God, you would do a work in those hearts. God, the folks might be able to get right with you today. Father, we know that you're the one who's victorious. Not only victorious, Father, from the grave, but God, you're victorious for your people. That we have a victorious conqueror that we can share in his victory. Father, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've shown us today. Would you bless these moments we have? In Jesus' name, amen.